This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, it is the Lombardi Line, a special day, December 3rd, 2021. So you know how in sports they'll ask, and I can ask Michael Lombardi this, they say when you've won multiple Super Bowls, how do you differentiate? How do they feel different? Well, we can ask them that, and then we can compare to having multiple children and then multiple grandchildren because a granddaughter has arrived just minutes ago.
Yes.
And we say congratulations, Michael, to you and your family.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Patrick. 7-pound baby girl, healthy. Mom's doing great. Got pictures. So it's a moment of joy for our entire family. I can't believe it. It's wonderful. So yeah, it's humbling and it's great. We can't wait to see her and to hold her. And it's everybody's healthy, and that's the most important thing. We are blessed.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you can't pick. They're all different. You can't pick a favorite. You can't pick a favorite Super Bowl. You can't pick a favorite child or grandchild.
No.
It's just all different. It's in a special way, right?
No doubt. And they're all different. But she's a girl, and so she is moving to the top of the list in a hurry. So
move over, Queen Elizabeth,
yeah,
right?
they've all been informed that they will. She is the ruler of the empire.
Hey, Dominic, watch a show called The Crown. You will now be taking a vaccine. Well, that's awesome news. Congrats. And, hey, most importantly, everybody's healthy, and that's all that matters. So congratulations. Okay, it's now time, and this is what Michael pointed this out not too long ago, and then we started a little segment. We mixed John Oates, Philadelphia Soul, with Hall & Oates into a little gambling. Sometimes you just got to throw games out so you can focus on the ones you want to handicap. And we call this segment, you can't go for that, no can do. So Michael's got three games here. And we're going to start with the Giants at the Dolphins, where Mike Glennon is now in at starter. We've seen this number jump up to 6. But for you, this is a John Oates play.
Yeah, I mean, and here's why. It's easy to say, okay, let me go down and bet against Mike Glennon. But the book's not stupid. They adjusted the line.
Baked in.
And 6 for Miami is a lot of points, and I'm sure it probably will even go up further once we start to see. Now, going into this game, there was nobody betting the Giants to begin with. No one was betting them. Now it's up to 6, and there's going to be less people betting them. And what concerns you is if the pace of the game is slow and the Giants' defense, which is really good, and they can put some pressure. They will rush Tua the right way. They will push the pocket back. They don't have an elite pass rush. But what they do have is they have the ability to control the pocket with their defensive front. Patrick Graham, the defensive coordinator, has done a really good job of utilizing his skills to power the pocket back, make it tight. That's what you have to do to Tua. So this is a game where it's easy to say, Glennon's playing, take Miami. But not so fast, because Miami still isn't great in their offensive line, and they have liability on offense as well. So for me, it's kind of a pass. You know, now that the game has gotten away, it opened up at 3. It immediately went to 4. People bet Miami. And then now it's going to go to 6, and I think by the time we start our show on Sunday, it'll be at 6.5. Mm. So for me, it's a no-can-do game. I don't really want anything to do with this game.
Giants-Dolphins, that's a John Oates play. That is, and you know what's weird is I'm just taking a look right now. 6s, but a couple of books still have 5. So there's some indecision, but I agree with you. I think it's going to continue to climb. I don't think there's any doubt about that, especially with the 4.
Nobody has any faith in Mike Glennon, and especially behind, look, the Giants have such liability in their offensive line. And you get a guy back there without that running threat. I mean, Daniel Jones, when you're a blitz zero team, Daniel Jones' ability to run with the football concerns you. Right? You know, and so Lamar is running the ball against blitz zero. If you get it blocked up and he takes off, nobody's going to get him. But against Mike Glennon, you're not worried about the end going too far up the field. You're not worried about the tackle coming out of the B gap. You can kind of compensate for it through the rush. So to me, it's a problematic game.
I love this one that's next up here as a John Oates play from Michael Lombardi, and that's the Ravens at the Steelers. If you have a pulse on these two teams, God bless you. This number's up to 4.5 with Baltimore laying it. You're laying off this
one. Know, you have to lay off it, but let me give you some numbers here, Patrick, that I think are somewhat telling. So the Steelers, since John Harbaugh's been there, okay, since John Harbaugh's been the head coach, the series is 13-13. The average margin of victory is 1. And the favorites of 3 or more are 1-13-2, right? So with all that knowledge I just gave you there, with statistical, it was not knowledge, it was just repeating stats that I read. right? 13-13, average margin of victory one. And when the line is higher than three, it goes 1-13-2 in the series.
Three points or less.
So it's easy to say, okay,
yeah,
right. It's easy to say, play Pittsburgh.
Right.
Okay? Did you watch Pittsburgh play last week?
Gross.
It's painful. Did you watch Ben move around? It's painful. Everything says take Pittsburgh in the points in this game. But for me, I have a hard time getting that bad taste out of my mouth. Maybe that's why, you know, this is a better. You have to kind of have a short memory because I can't see them bouncing back. I know this. If Ben could throw the ball effectively, he can attack this secondary. They don't have good matchups, right? They will move the ball on Baltimore if he gets time to throw it and he's got an ability to throw it. And that's what worries me. I don't trust Ben. I trust these numbers, but I don't trust Ben, which then makes it a John Oates play for me. I can't do it.
Yeah, can't go for that one. No can do, Ravens Steelers. We're going to stay away from you. Next one up, this is these are some weird matchups just because of a lack of momentum for a few teams coming in. That's San Francisco, Seattle. Seattle's hosting the 49ers, who are on a heater. This one opened 3.5. Mostly 3.5s across the board for you, though. It's a John Oates play.
Well, I mean, let's put this thing as succinctly in its proper place. If I was telling you that Russ Cookham Wilson was getting 3.5 at home against anybody, you're going to take it.
Wouldn't even care about the
opponent.
You're going
to take it.
Wouldn't even care about the opponent.
Don't even tell me who the opponent is. We're just going to take it, right? Now, how do you take it? After that performance, forget that performance last week. How about the last 2 weeks? Arizona and Green Bay. I mean, we've done nothing offensively. I mean, we're so desperate we're signing Adrian Peterson. I mean, this is how bad we are. So, like, I want to take San Francisco in the game, and so does most of the public want to take San Francisco in the game. But to me, I don't know why I don't trust Russ to cook it. I mean, Seattle has won the 12th man. They've won one game at home this year, and that was against Jacksonville. One game.
Yeah.
How do you win one game at home?
Especially, you're supposed to have the 12s and the home field advantage. It's just not there, non-existent. The team's in a weird place right now. It's a really weird vibe around this Seahawks team right now.
Really weird. And their defense is, you know, that their numbers on third down are great, but they play 36 minutes of defense. Kyle Shanahan will control the ball. He always does a good job against Ken Norton. So for me, I just don't want to play this game. I'd rather be a spectator and watch it. I can no can do for this one.
49ers and the Seahawks. That's a John Oates play. Also, did they pick up a third down on offense against Washington? My gosh.
It was horrible, right? And I don't think Shane Waldron has – I mean, he's been under the – I mean, Russ has taken all the beating. But Russ – there's a reason Russ doesn't trust his eyes and doesn't trust his mechanics and doesn't trust the offense. And I'm not sure he trusts the coordinator. Now, he's not going to say anything bad about him, but us as bettors, did you watch the Seattle offense and have any imagination? I know, Patrick. I know he stood next to Sean McVay, and that's been probably the greatest thing you can do in your career. However, that being said, you've got to put something on tape that shows you're doing really well. I haven't seen it.
Okay. So longtime gamblers will know where I'm going with this. We tend to be superstitious lot and believe in stuff like something that's kismet. Well, I immediately, while you were talking about that game, I looked up Siena basketball. Okay? Metro Atlantic. Mm-hmm. Siena basketball hosting Manhattan tonight. What is it? And Siena open to their lane three. In honor of Siena being born today, Siena Lombardi.
I'll send you $20. Yeah, put $20 down
to.
On Siena tonight. Will you?
How are you not?
Yeah, you
how are
to.
You not betting the Saints and the Siena Saints? So there's more. It's kismet.
I think they have one end. She's going to have two ends, but it doesn't matter. I'm with you all the way, Catherine of Siena. Well, let's bet them.
If the Metro Atlantic Siena Saints would add an N, that would be the wise thing. But we're going to go out, and I know Manhattan's got a good squad this year. But we're going to lay it with a Siena as it kind of adds up.
That's awesome.
There's some synchronicity to that game today. Okay, so the three matchups again. No can do. John Oates plays Giants, Dolphins, Ravens, Steelers, and 49ers, Seahawks. Man, those are. The teams that we expected a lot from, obviously, with the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Seahawks, that is a weird spot.
if you took Pittsburgh and you quoted me the numbers back that I quoted you, I would say that makes sense. But it doesn't make sense to your eye. It doesn't make sense to your eye. And there's a lot of games. The next block, we're going to get into it. I've never seen a board like this. It's Sunday. It's Friday afternoon at 1:10, and this board is still consistently. In fact, it's going further and further down into, and the bets are coming in, and they're all coming in a certain way that the board is staggering how little there's action on certain teams.
And the trends often will let you down, because we talked about Tomlin against Cincinnati. Tomlin in his career as a dog, and they went in and just laid an egg. So, again, he was in plus-plus in both. And here he comes. He was pissed after the game, said changes are going to be made. But until you make that change under center, which is starting to get awkward, what's going to change for the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, he can't move. He can't throw. I mean, now against and we know it's probably going to be windy and cold in Pittsburgh, you know, so it's not going to be conducive to throwing the ball. But look, Baltimore hasn't played well either. The overtime against Minnesota, lose to Miami. They have struggled. Bad against Chicago, you know, barely win last week.
And they forced us to watch that Ravens-Browns game, which we can't take that 3.5 hours back. Don't show Sienna that game as what Grandpa does. You watched it twice? You poor soul. When we come back, the splits are nuts. Michael was doing some research earlier today. We'll explain. And you can find those splits at VSiN.com. Come on back. It's the Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Follow the Money is hitting the road next week. Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard will be live from the new DraftKings Sportsbook at Foxwoods Casino Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And if you're in the area, come on down and meet the guys, and be sure to tune in every day, 7 to 10 Eastern Time. We welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. It's a big day. Any updates from the family there as Michael becomes?
How about this one? Maryland Athletics and Mark Turgeon have mutually agreed to part ways.
Turgeon's been there forever, and he is quite polarizing within that fan base. Hasn't quite gotten to where, again, he's found Gary Williams, a legend, but Turgeon, my goodness, he must have been there 10 years now. Wow. You're breaking news for me. Let me just look this up, Mark. Okay, so Mark Turgeon out. He's got a good squad this year as well. Interesting.
Something happened.
Parting ways.
And Matt Campbell is not a candidate at Oklahoma.
Do you believe that?
And I do. And Louisiana apparently has their guy. The University of Louisiana has their guy. They're going to announce it, I think, over the weekend once the game's over. But they've had their guy. They've had an eye on a coach since midseason. So I don't know who it is, but that's what I know. I'm just giving you what I know.
I bet you do know the answer. Do you not know the answer to that?
I can't say.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was going to say. And the big news today, Sienna is born. Do we have a middle name for Sienna Lombardi?
Lynn.
Sienna Lynn.
L-Y-N. Yep.
I like that. That's a beautiful name.
I love it, yeah.
Is there?
It's after her mom.
Okay,
yeah.
There it is. Congratulations to Mick and the crew. Okay, so this is something you texted Matt today, and I loved it because we have, and you can check out the betting splits at VSiN.com. I think it's very important. Every number has a story, and the betting splits help tell the story. It's not the whole story. But, Michael, you want to go through some of this?
Yeah, so every day I look at the betting numbers. And again, as people that have listened to this show, you know, there's always a reason for the money moving. I'm not a believer that the sharps do this and follow the sharps and all that. You know how I feel about that. But the one thing I do like to look at is where is the allocation of money? I think that's really important. I think Monday morning, the allocation of money does tell you that people that have algorithms and power rankings play. The public doesn't play games on Monday. They don't bet Monday. They bet Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But the people that use the algorithms to see numbers bet numbers Monday. So I always look at that. The other thing I constantly want to look at, because I do believe that when you are on the side of the book, whether you call it the contrarian side or the gross play side, there is an advantage to be in there. The book rarely loses. The public doesn't win. The book wins. So this week has been the most revelationary week in terms of where the distribution of money is. Forget the ticket count, right? Forget the ticket count. It's how much money. Let's go through it. So there's 12 games. There is 12 games in the early window.
Yep.
I mean, there's one, two, three. There's 12 games on Sunday.
That's right.
Of those 12 games on Sunday, 11 of those 12 games, 11 of those 12 games have 15 or less percent of the money on certain teams. For example, Chicago against Arizona has 1% of the money.
Chicago does.
Houston.
Chicago's catching 1% of the bets right now. Go ahead.
Houston has 2% of the money. Seattle has 4% of the money. Pittsburgh, even though I cite these stats, only has 3% of the money. Detroit, 5% of the money. The Giants, 6% of the money. The Jets, 7% of the money. The Chargers, 9%. Kansas City, 8%. Jacksonville, 10%. And the Raiders, 13%. The only game on Sunday that has distribution of equal funds is the Bucks Atlanta. 56% of the money's on the Falcons, 44 on the Bucks. I've never seen this before.
I've never seen
Patrick.
It either. I can honestly tell you these.
Now it's not going to close this way, but the public is clearly on a side. So if you're the smart bettor, what I would do is I would write down all those teams: Las Vegas, Jacksonville. And pick out three that you really feel the most comfortable about and play it. Because it's probably the book's not going to win, the public's not going to win 11 of 12 of those games.
And what we consider fishy, just to kind of not to make this too convoluted, but let's take, for example, your Chicago number, where essentially 99% of the money right now is coming in on Arizona. If the Bears started, the number started to go towards the Bears. That's when you start to the red light should go off in the dome, right? Because that's when you start to see, well, something's fishy here. Why is the predominant just absolute allocation going one way, yet the numbers going the other way? And that's what starts to raise those flags.
Right. And also let's feed off yours. Okay. So we know that the Indianapolis opened up at 7.5 on Monday, and all the money came in on Indy, and now it's up to 9.5. I think it might be at 10 in some shops, right? Yeah, it's at 10. But still, it is frozen at 10. It's not moving. I mean, Seattle, San Francisco, that game opened up at 2.5. It went immediately to 3.5. 4% of the money. No one's betting Seattle. No one's betting Pittsburgh. And yet these numbers are not moving in a drastic way. We see the Miami number move towards Miami, but that's because Glennon's so bad, right? We see the Jet number not move. I mean, that Jet game opened up at 7 and went to 6.5. It's bounced back between 6.5 and 7, and yet there's no money on the Jets. 7% of the money's on the Jets. Everybody, you would think the Charger-Cincinnati game would have equal distribution of money, and yet it's 91-9. 9% of the money's coming in, and yet that line has stayed frozen at 3.
And I just want to point out, because I think some may be confused by this, when Michael mentioned 92% of the money in that Denver and Kansas City game in Kansas City, 92% on Denver coming in right now, the books are reporting. So
everybody's betting Denver.
Yes.
No one's betting the Chiefs. No one's buying the Chiefs. Everybody's saying Denver's going to cover in that game, which makes me nervous.
And Denver was 10 yesterday.
I don't want to be on the side.
Yeah, you're right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't want to be on the side of it. Like Minnesota, Detroit. When I opened up the pool this week, Minnesota only giving up 7 on the road to Detroit, right? Now it's going up to 7.5. But, you know, we know Swift isn't playing for Detroit. He's a huge part of their offense.
Yes, he is.
This is a game Minnesota has to have. How are they not better than 7 points? And I think everybody sees it that way. And so that's why 95% of the cash that has been taken in is all on Minnesota. I mean, so usually when we ask Carl Johnson, or we ask Vinny, or we ask Thomas Gable, what do you need this week? Right now, if the window's closed right now, they need 11 of the 12 games in their favor.
And to Michael's point, DeAndre Swift has been ruled out. So Michael, you can explain this better, but everything that offense does starts with him, and then they branch off from there. So he's a huge miss.
He's their only playmaker that can generate a big play.
It's really
and when they have to put five or six plays together in a row, like we saw on Thanksgiving Day, something breaks down. We get a holding call. We get a penalty. You know, something falls apart in the game, and then it becomes problematic.
He makes Hockenson valuable. It's unbelievable how it spiders. And then just to take a look moving forward with this conversation, where you see the bettors a little more split. However, take a look at Monday night. You know, still only 33% believe in the home team in Buffalo, and 67% of the money right now on New England, Michael.
And that number's moving, and that number's at 2.5. And
was three yesterday.
It was three yesterday. It's going back down. I think there is a market for that number. And there's a market for the Tampa-Atlanta number. That number opened up at 9.5. It went up to 11, and now it's back at 10.5, and some 11 still out there.
And remember, margin of victory, the number is 3. So about 14.5% of these games in the NFL are decided by 3 points. So we're always looking at that 3. And as Michael just said, that market has pushed New England down to 2.5 off the 3 yesterday in Buffalo.
It's a fascinating game. And when I started my preparation for the week, you know, 8 of these road teams were favorites.
Yeah.
It's another week. It's 8 of these road teams. I mean, if you're still in Survivor, who's your Survivor pick? I think Philly would be a great Survivor pick this week.
And to your point, we're sitting on Friday. Now, most of the bets, the predominant amount of bets, are going to come in right before the game starts. We understand that. But to get all the way to Friday and still see this imbalance is pretty wild.
It's pretty wild, yeah. I mean, it's shocking to me. It really is. And it makes you reconsider where you would go with the bets.
Yeah, you run towards whatever Jick-Jack, whatever Vinny need.
Whatever they need, I'm with them. I'm going to join their team.
You ever notice whenever I ask Thomas how he's doing on a Monday, he's like, hey, I've had a pretty good day. That means he's doing very well. The books are doing well.
Remember what I told you. The people that really do this for a living, they never tell you they win. The people that do it as a hobby, they always tell you when they win. They never tell you when they lose.
They keep, you're 100% right. Okay, so great stuff. Good job by Michael with the investigation there, which is, you can go check out the splits yourself at VSiN.com. It's pretty fascinating. Josh is going to join us next here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, while you're taking a look at the splits over at VSiN.com, you can check out Prop Tracker. Keep up with the NFL props, the key ones, you know, MVP, head coach, rookie of the year, and more. Line movement and trends, it's all there. I just tell y'all to bookmark it. Did I just do Brian Kelly? I just said y'all. Just go to VSiN.com/NFL and bookmark it. Use VSiN as your resource when it comes to betting. Okay, Michael Lombardi there. It's a big day for the Lombardi household. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. And we bring in our buddy Josh Applebaum. Market Insights is the podcast, of course, Betting Across America with Pritch. And we say, what's crack? We'll get into some of these. We got to get to Utah and Oregon as well with the rematch. Hi, Josh. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Hey, Patrick. Hey, Michael. And by the way, Follow the Money is coming east, guys, coming to New England. So, Patrick, we're going to put you on a plane. We're going to get you out to Foxwoods. Me and Michael are going to pick you up at the airport, and we're going to get after it at Foxwoods together, guys.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
go.
It is. I'll tell you this. When I lived in New York, we used to go up there all the time. It's a beautiful spot in the middle of the woods. I don't know, Michael, if you've ever been up to Foxwoods or the other casino up there. It's literally in the middle of the woods, Connecticut.
Yeah, no, I've never been up there. Actually, even though I lived up there, I never went to Foxwoods. Of course, you're always working, so you never really go. But I'm excited for them to come back east. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. So
a little Paulie Howard on the East Coast. I mean, who couldn't use some of that?
Absolutely. Let's get into – so we talked Western Kentucky UTSA. Let's put that one on the back burner for a second, if you guys don't mind. Oregon, Utah. So 2 weeks ago, Utah with the 38-7 beatdown when it mattered for Oregon. Let's be clear there. It mattered big time. This game being played – about 2 miles that way as I point at Allegiant Stadium, and it opened 3 with Utah. Josh, where is it sitting now?
Yeah, Patrick, we're looking at kind of a line freeze here with a little bit of liability and maybe some smart money on Oregon here. So if you kind of look at how these teams have trended, Oregon 10-2, 5-7 ATS, ranked 10th. And again, you're right, Patrick, at Allegiant Stadium here. Actually, Pritch is going to be at the game, so I'll hopefully have some more intel there.
Nice.
With Pritch there in the flesh. But yeah, they beat Oregon State 38-29. You bounce back, -7.5, cover that number. We all know Utah. They've had a really good year. Ranked 17th, 9-3 straight up, 5-7 ATS, 1-5 straight. You beat Colorado last week, 28-13. Don't cover the 24. But I think, guys, this is a couple things going on. Number one, it's recency bias. Patrick, you mentioned just a couple weeks ago, Utah rolled over Oregon, 38-7. They're a 3-point favorite there. That was actually a really sharp fade the trendy dog play where public was all over Oregon, yet line kind of stayed with Utah or even ticked up to 3, 3.5. So public remembers that. And now they're saying, hey, you know, Utah's only laying 3 when just a couple weeks ago they beat them by 31. Lay the points all day with Utah. However, you know, and this is according to BetMGM, only 47% of bets are on the Ducks, but it accounts for 54% of money. That's not a huge bet first dollar split, but it definitely does lead you to believe a little bit of respect to money on Oregon. Because think of it this way, guys, if slight majority of bets are on Utah, you know, line either stays the same or maybe ticks up to 3.5. But all the juice liability is on Oregon here. All these books open Utah -3, have stayed 3. And if you look at the juice, all the juice here across the board, Patrick, +3, -115, -120 toward Oregon. So that kind of tells you, and we've even seen it at a couple shops dip down to 2.5 throughout the week. Basically, it's never gotten to 3.5. It's either stayed 3 or inched down to 2.5. Tells me you have some respect to money on Oregon here in a revenge spot. And also, guys, keep an eye on maybe an underplay here. The total open at 60. It's down to 57.5. We've seen a lot of under money come in. And one angle here, when you have two really good rushing teams going head-to-head, both teams rush for over 200 yards. And when you get these good rushing teams, what do? They chew up the clock. So keep that clock running throughout the game. Historically, if you rush for over 200, both teams, the under is around 57%. So money to the under. I think it's a spot here. We'll all be on the Ducks +3.
Yeah, you know, this is, I mean, the last game they played, I loved Utah. Utah's way tougher. They play in Salt Lake. It was hard. You know, when you play a team twice. Now, I think the underlying factor here is Mario Cristobal. What's going on with him? There's a lot of talk and speculation that he could be headed back to Miami and that Miami wants him back. Miami hasn't gotten a new AD. How much focus? He loses Joe Moorhead to the head coach of the University of Akron. So he's lost his offensive coordinator. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes at Oregon that I don't know or feel comfortable with. The last time they played, they got punched right in the mouth by Utah.
That's right.
And they didn't respond, which should be a great motivating factor for you. Let's face it, Oregon is the more talented team here. There's no doubt.
Absolutely.
But they don't have the more talented quarterback. That has been the problem.
You just nailed it. And to your point about motivation and I would say focus. Michael, I mentioned to start Josh with this. Oregon got beat down 38-7 when it mattered. Remember, they were still in the Final Four hunt then. What does, and Cristobal's maybe his attention, but how does he galvanize the team? Listen, I know what's going to happen with the Utah coach. That Whittingham always has his team ready to go, and they're going to beat you up.
They're going to play hard. They're going to play physical. They're going to punch you in the mouth, and they're going to dare you to punch them back. I mean, that's what Utah football is all about. I mean, they know who. One thing about Utah, when you watch them, they know who they are.
And they've dealt with adversity. It's just horrible situations off the field for them this year. And they wound, what have they won? Like 5, 6 straight here. And to Josh's point on the total. So again, 45 combined points scored 2 weeks ago with these two teams. This open 60. You're not going to get the best of it, but you can still get 57.5, Josh. It's a pretty good number on these two teams. This is going to be hard fought.
Yeah, it really is. And again, your angle there is these elite rushing teams. This is a system that I've looked at for quite a few years now, and it makes a ton of sense. If you're kind of an air raid offense where, you know, you're throwing the ball downfield and, you know, you're stopping the clock here on you know, possessions and incomplete passes, that leads you to an over. But when you run the ball a ton, and both these teams run the ball a ton, chews up the clock, keeps it going, so that would lead you to an edge here to the under. Then also, Patrick, kind of think about, like, correlative betting or maybe just the way a line can speak to you. Like, you know, 2 weeks ago, Utah is -3 at home. We give a couple points to home field advantage. It's not maybe 3 anymore. Maybe it's 1.5 or 2. But basically that's saying it's kind of a pick 'em on a neutral site. Now we're on a neutral site and it's still -3 Utah. So to me, you're almost getting a better number or more value to buy low on Oregon here when it was 3 at home and now it's 3 neutral site. Tells me Oregon could have some value.
Well done. Conference USA. This one's fascinating. Western Kentucky. So the Hilltoppers, and Michael, we talked about it earlier, 1-4 start, 7 straight wins. They're beating teams by 26 points. And UTSA. So UTSA, North Texas beat them last week, and North Texas needed a win to be bowl eligible, as I remember. And so they fall to 11-1 San Antonio. This number, set it up, Josh, and kick it to Michael. Where is it sitting now?
Yeah, this is your biggest line move of the day, guys. Ton of money pouring in on the Hilltoppers here. With this game open at some shops at a pick 'em, some shops were even UTSA like laying 2, laying 3. Maybe that was an early number. But regardless of what the opener was, a ton of money pouring in on Western Kentucky. They've now flipped all the way to a 3.5-point favorite. So that's really, really meaningful. And you have a pretty good bet versus dollar split here, you know, coming in on Western Kentucky. They're only getting 56% of bets at BetMGM, but it accounts for 70% of money. So for all intents and purposes, public's kind of split. UTSA has been good this year. They got a really good record, but they're coming off a bad loss. Public is also saying, hey, Western Kentucky, they started 1-4. They've won 7 straight, and they've been rolling people. They beat Marshall 53-21, been scoring a ton of points recently. So somewhat split, yet this big money on Western Kentucky. Guys, I look at a money line play here. I'm going to money line Western Kentucky. You're looking at around like minus 130, minus 140, something like that. I just don't want to lay a 3.5 and have a 3-point game and I lose by the hook. Also keep an eye, guys, on the total here. It's pretty high. Open 72. It's up to 74. But you've seen a lot of money to the over, and both these offenses can score a ton. Western Kentucky averaging 44 a game, whereas it's 37 there for UTSA.
98 points scored in week 5, Michael, with these two.
Yeah, I mean, well, look, I mean, you know, the Hilltoppers have been great, but when they play against good offenses, they're 122nd pass defense in college football, you know, and they really struggle. They're not even in the top 10. They're not even in the top 5 in their conference in terms of defense. So, you know, this will be a true challenge. And Texas San Antonio can throw the football. I mean, they're not as explosive as Western Kentucky, because Western Kentucky is unbelievable, but they play better defense, and typically these games come down to defense.
Yeah, I think it's strength on weakness. Western Kentucky with the passing game and Zappe, and a UTSA secondary that struggled this season, as you mentioned, 109 in yards allowed per pass attempt for UTSA. UTSA, how about them out of nowhere, though, with the 11-0 start, Michael?
And guy's done a great job. He turned down jobs. He loves San Antonio. He turned down the Texas Tech job to stay at San Antonio, which says an awful lot.
It certainly does. And that game, by the way, being played in the Alamo Dome. So there's going to be a big-time home field advantage. Josh, anything else?
Yeah, I just want to, you know, keep an eye on a game tomorrow. There's definitely been a ton of movement here for all these big games. So one will be Baylor going +6.5 down to 5.5 against Oklahoma State. We've also taken a ton of money on San Diego State. They open around -4. They've been bet up to -6. Cincinnati could be a fade the trendy dog tomorrow. Public is actually leaning Houston in the points there, but Cincinnati opened -10, stayed 10, or even crept up to 10.5. Alabama guy is going to be in a situation that they've never been in. You know, if you can wait for a 7 on Alabama, really inflated line there, and they're only getting about 30% of bets across the market. California's had some movement, 2.5 to 4.5. But guys, the one that really intrigued me for tomorrow, Patrick, you're going to like this one. Kent State in Northern Illinois. Ridiculously high total in this one. Open 72. So about up to 74.5. 48% of bets, 82% of money are on the over. These teams played exactly a month ago today. It was 52-47 games. So that nosebleed super high over, it's getting hit over. Maybe we get another really high scoring game there with Kent State in Northern Illinois.
The Mac, daddy.
The Mac, baby. Gotta love the Mac.
We didn't
Kent State's offense is fun to watch
they
now.
Are.
They're fun to watch. They're good.
We didn't love not having Mac games on Tuesday this week, but we gotta love the Mac. As you see at Kent State lane 3.5, Northern Illinois, and 74 is a total. Great job, Josh. We'll see you this weekend.
Thanks, Josh.
Okay.
Appreciate it, guys. Good luck today.
Okay. We got more to do as we continue here on the Lombardi Line. Remember, you can follow Michael, M. Lombardi NFL, and you can give us a follow at VSiN Live on Twitter. Come on back. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, become a weekend warrior at BetMGM, King of the Weekend. It's a free-to-play challenge where you can win up to $50,000 for correctly picking the highest-scoring pro football teams during the weekend. So all you have to do is get into your BetMGM account, okay? Log into your account and then find the King of the Weekend contest in the promos section. And then once you do, pick six teams, these six teams you think will score the most points from the selected games. And then $1,000 is going to go to the top entry each week. And if you guess all six right in order, The grand prize of $50,000 could be yours, plus hundreds of dollars in free bets will be awarded to players who come close to the perfect score. So go to your account and try the King of the Weekend free-to-play game. New to BetMGM, download the app today and make a weekend pick and make your weekend even better. Only at BetMGM, the King of Sportsbooks, 1-800-GAMBLER, if you do have an issue. Okay, it's a Friday. It's an important Friday, December 3rd, here on the Lombardi Line. I'm Patrick Maher. He, of course, is Michael Lombardi. Michael, there's a couple things NFL-wise I wanted to ask you about. One, unfortunately, I have to ask you about, and that is Antonio Brown showing up with the Fugazi vax card. He has been suspended.
Oh my.
I know, what a anyway, he has been suspended 3 games. I shouldn't give my opinion. Tampa Bay is at Atlanta, and Tampa Bay opened 9.5. They're getting bet, so they're not concerned about the Brown miss. He's been out, obviously, up to 11 here.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, too, and you read Bruce Arians' comments.
He's
it's
pissed.
Like, you know, it's like he wants him off the team.
He never wanted him on the team.
Exactly. He never wanted him on the team, you know? And so it's kind of like it's almost like he's pushing them to suspend him even further. So,
yeah, you're right.
Look, I think they took action, you know, and people say, what's the difference between this and what happened with Aaron Rodgers? Didn't tell the media the truth, but the Packers knew. This is Antonio Brown didn't tell anybody the truth.
Complete subterfuge. Yeah, you're 100%.
Right.
And, you know, there's more to it on a moral level as far as faking a card. So that is that. No impact. We've seen him play well without. And the emergence of Lenny, your boy Leonard Fournette. And this is a team that, you know, corrected itself a little bit last week, headed to Atlanta Lane 11.
Yeah, no, look, they won a tough road game. And, I mean, they did it by playing opportunistic defense. They turned Carson Wentz over when they needed to. I mean, there's a great scene, if you see it on Twitter, where Quentin Nelson walks up to Frank Wright during the game and says, can we just call a run without checking out of it? And I think it was really important that people understand what Nelson was telling Frank Wright. Everybody was complaining that Frank Wright was throwing the ball too much in the game. Well, every play has a run-pass option to it. If the run looks like it can't be successful, there's a pass that you're going to check to it. That's why I would say kill. That's why you hear all those signals coming from the sideline. You know. And so what happened was what he wanted was just a run call. Run it. Because they're never going to give us a look that lets us run the ball. And so if you never run the ball into a bad look, you'll throw it all the time. That's
right.
What he was trying to say. And I think that's what happened to the Colts last week. The Bucs just did a really good job of never giving them a good run look, and they threw the ball, and they put the ball in Wentz's hands, and he turned it over.
Interesting. So Nelson's like, don't check out. The defense is never going to be let's go.
Can we just call – now, some people will call a run right or left, but typically, you know, when you say, you know, apple or ringo, whatever you want to call it, you know, the defense can slide and adjust. When you're in that certain front and you're trying to run the runs you want to run and they're not there, you're wasting a down. No one wants to waste a down, and I think that's what we're seeing. And that's why they called so many pass plays, because he just checked out. They weren't called in the huddle.
Okay, the next one I have written down to talk to you about. So there's a lot wrong with the Rams, and you looked into the tape yesterday and came up with more reasons to be concerned about the Rams. One is we're probably undervaluing, not you, but many, undervaluing the loss of Robert Woods. So we come into week 13 with the Rams hosting Jacksonville, and it looks like Odell could miss this game. So we're up to 13.
Shocking.
I know, right?
Why is anybody surprised by that? He's always hurt. I mean, he hasn't been healthy forever. I mean, you know, sign him to this contract, and it's like he has no durability. When did he get hurt? I missed it.
Yeah, I just read a report this morning. It looked like he could be out this week 13. So it could be a continuation of some of the nagging injuries that he's been dealing with, and I'll try to see if I can find a specific. But
he's got a hip injury. He did not practice. And Henderson has a thigh. He didn't practice. You know, so, you know, they're kind of – look – I think this is a game for the Rams that there's an article today in the paper that, you know, is Matthew Stafford just a better version of Jared Goff? I mean, that's a little harsh. You know, there's really only one Jared Goff. I mean, I don't think you can have another version of him. So, but the reality here is they're trying to be something that they're not. They got away from their identity. Now, part of the problem is Cam Akers not being there. But they should just run Sonny Michel. They should run. They need to run the ball. They need to be more physical up front. And they got to protect this offensive line. They can protect it against Jacksonville. It's not going to. They're not going to rush well enough. But in the games that matter most, they need to protect that offensive line, because when they come back, they have three road games left. They've got to go to Arizona, they've got to go to Minnesota, they got to go to Baltimore, all hard. Then they've got Seattle and San Francisco at home sprinkled in between. Tough. This is a game that you got to start to get it right here.
Who do you trust more, the Rams or the 49ers?
I actually trust the 49ers more. I think they're playing better team defense. I don't think you can deny it. I think San Francisco's playing better defense. Now, they didn't play great defense against Colt McCoy four weeks ago, last month. I mean, they gave up 437 yards in that game. Colt McCoy was sensational. James Conner ran. They had 163 yards on the ground. So I trust them. In the last 3 weeks, they have played much better defense. They haven't given up a 100-yard rusher. They've turned the ball over six times in the last three games. And their offense has been back to who they are. 156 rushing against the Rams, 171 against Jacksonville, 208 against Minnesota. You know, it's funny. Everybody's worried about laying the points with the Rams and Jacksonville. Okay? And, well, nobody's not worried. Everybody's betting the Rams. The Jacksonville is 10% of the money. But Jacksonville lost to the 49ers at home 30-10. They lost by 20 in that game, right? If the Rams can't beat Jacksonville at home by 17 or 20, something's wrong, right?
You would think, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I wanted to, before we get out, I wanted to ask you, so we're seeing the number now even juiced up on the 6 down in Miami with Mike Glennon named as the starter for the Giants, so which means we could be
now
headed to 6.5.
Now it's juiced on the 6?
Yeah, I see 115's on the 6, so we could be headed to 6.5 at a few shops. Do you... Which way are you thinking with Glennon in for the Giants?
It'll take all the power I have to not take the Miami because of Glennon. But I also know Miami has liability in both ways. I think that's why I made it a John Oates play, because it just is too hard for me. Yeah. Once I want to feel warm enough about the Miami offense, I realize their offensive line is not very good, and they've been prone to turn the ball over. And the Giants have been very opportunistic. I mean, the Giants beat the Raiders with no offense at all in that game. The Raiders moved the ball up and down the field, 1-for-6 in the red zone in that game, and they had 400 yards, but they couldn't get it in the end zone. The Giants are a really good red zone team. They're hard to move the ball when you get it down there. And I think, to me, 6 might be a lot of points in this game, even with Glennon playing quarterback. You know, even with Glennon playing quarterback. I mean, the Giants just... With what he's been able to do, when I say he, Pat Graham, he's done a really nice job of being very good in the red zone. He's the eighth best team in the National Football League in red zone defense.
Yeah. Now he's done a good – he's going to be a head coach.
By the way, they're 32nd in red zone offense. Shocking, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Shocking.
That's your boy, Coach Garrett.
That's why they're a good under team, because they play good, they don't score.
Is Graham's name mentioned as far as a potential head coach or no?
I think he will be. I think he will be mentioned as a potential coach. He's a very smart guy, very bright. You know, he understands the scheme. He knows how to develop the players. He's done a really good job at New York in the 2 years he's been there. The players seem to really gravitate towards him. I've been around him. He's a good coach. You know, it's going to be offensive staff. It's going to be all those things.
So we got about a minute and a half. So I want to ask you this. So Sienna Lynn is here, Sienna Lynn Lombardi.
Yeah.
And Mick is a coach there with the New England Patriots, and we just got a monster game. What's the schedule like for a new dad and then coaching? I mean, it's just nonstop.
Well, the baby had to be born today, because, you know, today is Thursday in their practice routine. Saturday is Friday. Sunday is Saturday, and then Monday's game day. So, you know, Michelle's got to get home from the hospital. So Monday, you know, that's why Millie's up there. She'll bring him home. So everything had to be timed around the game. And fortunately, he has a bye next week. So it'll get him some home time there with his little baby girl.
Sienna, you will learn. You will be the queen, but you got to get in where you fit in when it comes to game days. Well, they got an
Dominical,
extra.
Dominical educator.
Yeah, he'll take out his play sheets and let her know. But they got an extra day. So Monday, I think it may help a little bit with the. All kidding aside, congratulations. It's a wonderful
day. Thank you, Patrick.
For you.
Very exciting.
December 3rd, 2021 will always be a monumental and a seminal day with the Lombardi family. Okay, Michael, we'll see you tomorrow for some college
thank
football,
you, Patrick.
Okay?
Tomorrow from the Borgata. Yes, sir.
Enjoy it. And thank you to the boys behind the glass. Odds On with Mike and Amal coming up next.